Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. Luckily, I'm horrifically ugly, so I don't have to worry about attractive women like Mindy.
That's not true. That is not true. You are not horrifically ugly, Matt. You're a looker.
You sound like my wife, and you're both crazy.
See, someone married you, all right? You can't be all bad.
Well, that's because I was holding her cats hostage, you know?
You know, excuses. That's what I say, Matt. Hey, guys out there. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. We are ad-free because of that. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. For $2 a month, you can access all of our bonus content. And for more, other levels, you can get other stuff. We just posted a Planet Simpson book club episode, bonus episode, where we discussed Planet Simpson by Chris Turner. Good book. We had interesting discussion about it.
It was very heated at points, but I think we came down to some agreement in the end.
Yeah. We have, I believe there's a new Simpsons episode coming out tonight, so we'll have a review up for that this coming week. I will have an article up today at some point. More stuff coming. Our next goal is to make and eat moon waffles. I am looking forward to it.
Delicious butter.
We have someone new to thank, Matt. We have a new...
We do!
We do. We have Stephanie, who goes only by Stephanie. She tweeted out that she supported us, so I appreciate that. So thank you, Stephanie.
Stephanie, you rock.
Also, if you want to help the show out in another way, please, wherever you listen to us, it's iTunes or Stitcher or wherever, give us a review. Give us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us. If you don't know what to say, simply say this. Are you SMRT? Then listen to The Simpsons Show.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. You know, it's creativity. It's important.
Absolutely.
This week's episode is The Last Temptation of Homer, episode 1F07, originally aired December 9th, 1993, written by Frank Mula, directed by Carlos Baeza. Let's see, finished 24th in the ratings, acquired a rating of 12.7, highest rated show on Fox that week. It was tied with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is not on Fox, but in the general ratings.
That would be a tough one. Definitely go to The Simpsons, but Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is a close second.
Fresh Prince is a good show. Will Smith.
Surprisingly so.
Will Smith's a charismatic dude.
That is true.
Chalkboard gag. We have a chalkboard gag. We haven't had one in a while. They've been cutting them out lately, I guess, for long-running shows. But sad. All work and no play makes Bart a dull boy.
Well, that's definitely true for all of us.
Yeah. The couch gag is the couch turns into David Letterman's couch from Late Show with David Letterman. So the Simpsons are on David Letterman.
Well, I expect they're brilliant people.
Yeah, but I mean, that's obviously... many writers of the show were big fans of David Letterman and that period of David Letterman in particular. So it's no surprise that they'd use that. Guest stars, Michelle Pfeiffer as Mindy, Werner Klumperer as Colonel Klink, who is the guy who played Colonel Klink. Hmm. And Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz.
Aww.
I know, Phil. Episode begins with Bart being a prankster. It actually, it's something you don't really see. We haven't seen this in a while, honestly. Like Bart.
That's true. Most of the days, nowadays he's just doing something generally kid-like. He didn't have that mischief that he used to have.
But he's painting the parking lot spaces closer together, just barely imperceptibly so that when all the teachers arrive to school, they are parked too close together. They can't get out. They can't prove. We cut to Bart in the classroom, and Krabappel can't prove that it was Bart that did it, but she just decides randomly on her own, of course, no other, that she's going to call on Bart first for the rest of the school year, and he's asked to pronounce photosynthesis, do you think you could have pronounced it as a fourth grader, Matt?
Probably not without sounding it out or someone telling me how to pronounce it first. That's actually a tough one.
Yeah, fourth grader for photosynthesis is a tough word. Martin is desperate to be called. I mean, and that kind of hit close to home because I was kind of Martin at that point. You know, I know the answer, teacher. Please.
I'm ever so smart.
I'm ever. Damn your feeble brain. But we get to the point where the reason Bart can't. Well, supposedly the reason Bart can't read it is because he can't see it. That his vision, or lack thereof, is the reason he has maybe been acting out in class for his entire life. It's because, totally. Uh-huh. Because, well, I mean, that actually is true for a lot of kids. Like, they have bad vision, or they have a learning disability, or a...
Okay, a learning disability I can see, but bad vision, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, huh. Okay, where do the bad kids sit, Matt?
In the back of the class.
The back of the class. Vision, you know, you can't see as very...
That's correlation. You can't prove causation.
All right, I'm not saying that... I'm just saying that, yes, or reading disabilities, people, you know, they have dyslexia or something like that, where, you know, they can't keep up, so they do other things.
Fair enough. Makes sense.
Yes, but that is kind of the B plot of this story. The B is focusing on kind of Bart and a little bit Marge, but it's mostly Homer. And that's where, and then we get to Homer, who is at work. And I like Matt's description here. Homer tries to kill a coworker hoisted on his own batard by lack of real safety features.
Well, that, what can I say?
That's very true. He plays a prank on one of his coworkers, who ends up dropping I guess radioactive material, which I don't understand, but there's a gas and everyone's trying to escape, but they don't have real glass. The emergency door is painted on. there's a lack of safety features at the nuclear plant. It's unfortunate because nuclear plants generally need those things.
Mr. Burns would not be big on safety.
I know, it's crazy. Poor old Charlie goes to ask Mr. Burns for a real emergency exit, among other things, and he is he's not killed.
No,
he's tubed.
He is sold into slavery, essentially.
He's tubed into a room of foreign men. I don't know where that is. And Smithers doesn't either. It was it was there when they got there. But let's see. We have Burns. I pulled this because I love Zootroy. Burns talks to one of the new employees of the plant, Zootroy.
Oh, oh. Excellent, Zootroy. Work hard, and each day you'll get a shiny penny.
Oh. Agent Wesson, Department of Labor. This man's an illegal alien.
That's preposterous. Zootroy here is as American as apple pie.
Doch, nie grab da, Mr. Boons.
This plant violates every labor law in the book. We found a missing Brazilian soccer team working in your reactor core.
That plane crashed on my property.
Look, Mr. Burns, we want to see some changes. For starters, you can reverse your sexist employment policies and hire at least one woman.
All right. I'll bring in a woman, but I still stand by my hiring policies. Get back to work, Stuart.
I love Stuart.
Stuart's the best employee that plant ever had.
Stuart, I mean, he's hard to work. He has his little duck hard hat on, and he has a little wagon with all his stuff in it. You know, he's working. He's better than Homer. Homer just sleeps all day.
Oh yeah, well, Homer just sleeps. Yeah. Oh, poor Stuart. I miss him.
I know. We need more Stuart. But because Bart has a vision problem, Bart and Marge go to Dr. Hibbert's new HMO. Was this Hibbert? What does it stand for? Hibbert Money Making Organization? Medical Organization?
Yes, I think that was it, yeah.
But
I think it was Money Making.
Money Making. But they basically, Dr. Hibbert has created a place where all doctors of many types can congregate and make him money. Luckily, Marge has insurance, so she's not sucked away in a tube. That's very.
What you do with poor people, Robbie? You just kick them out.
I guess. Well, that is more than just kicking them out. That was.
It'll probably be sent to the same place Charlie went to.
I guess that's. I mean, that we. That's two tubes. That's true. They're both tubes. Bart is diagnosed with a lazy eye, but he also has a dry scalp, fallen arches, and a sore throat, a red throat.
Yeah, we got a spray.
Yeah, he has to have a spray, and afterwards, so he has big giant glasses, a wet, like, they have, like, a special lotion or salve for his scalp, big giant, like, Frankenstein boots, and then they have to spray his throat, and he basically becomes Jerry Lewis. That they transform Bart into Jerry Lewis, which is, yeah, it's fine. If Professor Frank didn't exist in the same universe, it probably wouldn't bother me as much, but... He does. There's already a Jerry Lewis analog.
So there's really no point, but
yeah, man, but yeah.
You do what you can.
Yeah, it's yeah. The guys at work are upset that because they don't want a woman to be hired because, you know, they can't do the same stuff anymore.
Oh, if they hire a woman, we won't be able to spit on the floor.
And we can't take off our pants when it gets real hot.
And we won't be able to pee in the drinking fountain. Yeah, I mean, not, you know, if we wanted to, not that I ever did.
Okay. Oh, God, Homer. That's pretty bad. But Homer, they meet the new hire, who's Mindy. Both Carl and Lenny are kind of nonplussed. They're like, hey, how's it going? Homer turns around, sees her, and envisions her as, you know, Venus rising from the sea in a clamshell. You know, he is struck by her. It's very much a very, like, love at first sight, kind of, or lust at first sight even kind of thing.
Essentially, yeah. It makes his brain kind of melt down because she's so hot.
Yeah, and this is Michelle Pfeiffer. Michelle Pfeiffer does a great job as Mindy.
Oh, yeah.
She's,
holy crap.
And I believe the writers even said that Michelle Pfeiffer is the most attractive person they've ever met in person.
Sounds about right.
But she does a great job as Mindy. We're cutting back. Bart is now going to school. He is a nerd, for all intents and purposes. He is, like, he has the big glasses, and so he can't do... Martin is scoring points on him, basically. I think that... That is kind of, I think, the litmus test of how nerdy you are at Springfield Elementary.
When another nerd is like, haha, you're funny. And everyone's like, yeah, you know, that nerd is right. That other nerd is funny.
Yeah. But Homer is kind of worried about the fact that he recognizes the fact that he is kind of getting obsessed with Mindy. And, like, so he goes through another day of work and he gets off work and he's like, okay, I'm good. And it turns out he is hallucinating, driving his car backwards down the highway.
Crashing into some...
Cat. I hate you, cat. You're the worst cat ever, cat. Destroy all the blinds. That's perfect. Okay. So, yes, he's driving backwards down the highway with Fish singing to him about how he loves Mindy.
Well, he crashed into that fish farm. So, you know, they just stop by and say, hey, by the way, Homer, we know you love Mindy. Everyone knows that.
And that's how it would go to commercial.
Which is a really good place to end it, I think, because you get a little time to think about, hey, Homer is crazy.
He is.
But when we come back from commercial, we see Homer is just ridiculously obsessed with Mindy to the point of distracting his coworkers constantly.
Yeah, that Mindy seems real nice.
Homer, what's with you? You're talking during a coffee break.
Yeah, usually you just take the box of donuts into the bathroom.
Mindy has a motorcycle.
Take the box of donuts into the bathroom. Now that sounds like an interesting time.
I mean, that sounds like a good time to me, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, basically, anytime there is, donuts involved,
Did you say the word donuts? I'm on board. Donuts. And it doesn't matter what's... whatever. Where I'm eating the donuts.
Bathrooms can be clean, probably. As long as it's not a porta potty, then I'll probably steer clear of that.
I'd eat donuts in my bathroom.
I would eat donuts in my bathroom.
See, there you go.
Right now.
Yeah, I don't have any, but it's unfortunate.
We then get to Bart, who is attempting to prove his rebellious status by riding his skateboard. And, of course, he crashes and fails, and the bullies beat him up even more because a book falls on him. And they take it as independent learning, which is definitely a no-no in an elementary school environment.
And especially if you are a cool kid. Cool kids, that's right.
Don't learn on their own.
No, they take to learning. They resent it. Cool kids, exactly. They try and
forget the things they've learned.
Yeah, they don't try. Try-ins for suckers.
But unfortunately for Bart, who said he gets beat up, Homer is also having no luck. He goes to the bar to ask, you know, what do I do about this? And he tries to pass it off to Mo as somebody else. He's got a friend named Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo. And, of course, Mo sees right through this and says, that's the worst I've ever heard. Unluckily for them, there is a gentleman in the bar, a new guy, whose name is apparently Joey Jojo, and he runs off crying, much to Barney's chagrin.
Poor Joey Jojo.
Best name ever.
It's a good name.
Uh-huh. But Mo doesn't have any advice. Luckily, Barney has found a magical coaster, which tells Homer that it's probably a physical attraction, and he should talk to Mindy and see that they have nothing in common. So Homer gives it a shot, and unluckily for him, nope, turns out they like all the same things. Sleeping in radiation suits and pork chops and beer and just, they're basically perfect for each other.
Yeah, she's a creature of similar habits of Homer, you know?
Yeah, how she keeps that figure with that kind of diet, I don't know.
Well, some people's genetics, they just are very lucky. Just eat whatever they want.
Just clone those people. Just snip out those genes and put them in everybody. Anyway, when Homer leaves for the end of the day, he attempts to, what's a nice way to say this? He gets in the elevator with Mindy, and he tries to think of unsexy thoughts, which start out with, I believe, Patty and Selma shaving their legs, and then Barney in a bikini. Unfortunately, Barney then morphs into Mindy, and Homer gets scared and exits the elevator, which apparently goes through a cooling tower. Seems like a weird place for an elevator to be, but hey, why not?
It's the plant that, you know, the Springfield plant has many odd things about it.
Indeed it does. Of course, when Homer goes home, he, you know, he just wants to see his loving family. Unfortunately, he sees Bart as a nerd, Marge is sick, Lisa made burnt fish sticks, which are frozen on the inside. I forget, was there anything wrong with Maggie?
I don't think so. I don't think they may had Maggie in there. I do like that. Like, it's like, I like that they really set this up for like there's other times in this show when they have, you know, either Marge or Homer, like, being tempted by someone outside of their marriage. And, you know, but it sometimes kind of comes off like, why would they end up leaving their family? Because, like, you know, they still love their partner. But in this case, you're like, Homer gets like the worst case scenario. Like, he finds someone who's very attractive, who has all his same interests. His family is like the worst. It's the worst case scenario of his family right now. Like, you know,
Bart, I don't know. I feel like Bart being a nerd is not that bad of a
to Homer. It is scenario. To Homer. Yeah, it is, Matt. There, what is worse than being a nerd to Homer?
That's true. I mean, Homer's a jock, so yeah, he had nerd son. He probably
nerd.
but anyway, we see Marge and Homer trying to watch TV, which is unusual for Marge because Marge is normally, you know, being a domestic goddess. And we see that she went to get her picture on a T-shirt, and unfortunately got smeared, so she got $2 off. Not a new T-shirt, just $2.
That's a great deal for that awful shirt.
If you guys haven't seen this episode, it is an awful T-shirt. Like, the left half of hers is just like stretched out, and it looks hideous. But Homer is like, oh, you know, let's watch some TV. TV will help us out. But unfortunately for Homer, once again, TV is not a friend to marriage.
Hey, we haven't watched TV in a while.
Tonight, Ion Springfield takes a look at the secret affairs of Kennedy, Eisenhower, Bush, and Clinton. Did fooling around on their wives make them great? We'll find out next when we play Hail to the Cheat.
The Burmese melon fly has over 1,000 sex partners and suffers virtually no guilt.
Ooh, just do it. Examine your scalp for ringworm.
What that last commercial has to do with ringworm, I couldn't tell you, but it definitely works on Homer.
Sex sells, Matt. That's all that you need to know. You remember it. You remember the ad. That's all that matters.
That's a good point.
And I again, like, everything is telling Homer what he should, like, that's the thing. Like, it's just like the world is working against him in this.
All the signs point to cheating on Marge. All of them.
Yeah, and I do want to, okay, I'm fairly certain that Kennedy did have affairs while he was president.
Clinton, obviously, too, but Bush and Eisenhower,
Bush
really?
Bush and Eisenhower? I don't throw them under the bus a little bit. I don't remember any. I think that I like that. Like, I think Bush and Eisenhower are the two of the unsexiest presidents ever. It's very strange that they picked those guys.
I know, right? It's just, it's weird.
It's funny.
But anyway. Homer goes on to call the marriage hotline, where it is very unhelpfully manned by Ned Flanders, who then wants to conference him in with Marge. No, that is not what you do, Flanders. You never, ever bring them together until they're ready to talk. And, you know, Marge didn't even know about this. So just no.
Well, Homer does hang up on him.
That's true, which is probably the correct thing to do in this case. But when Homer tries to exit said phone booth, he falls down and bumps his head and sees a vision of Colonel Klink. Why Colonel Klink? Oh.
Because Colonel Klink is the one. It's Sir Isaac Newton at first. Because
oh, that's right. Someone you'd know and respect.
Someone, of course, obviously you know and respect, but he's like, I don't know who you are. And so he changes form to Colonel Klink, someone who, because Homer loves Hogan's Heroes, knows Colonel Klink. And I guess respects him, even though Colonel Klink is ostensibly the antagonist in that television
right?
show.
It's weird.
But that is the actual guy. That is Werner or Werner. He's of German descent, so Werner, I would imagine. Werner Klemperer. I dug into a wiki hole with Mr. Klemperer. He played Colonel Klink in Hogan's Heroes, won several Emmys, was nominated every year that the show was on for a supporting comedic actor. He actually fought in World War II for our side. He's of German descent, but he fought part of the American military in World War II. Accomplished stage and screen actor after Hogan's Heroes went off the air. Lived at the ripe old age of, I believe, 81.
So basically, he was an awesome person. What you're going?
Yeah, he had it. He seems like he had it together.
Well,
you ever watch? I never watched Hogan's Heroes though, and I feel like I should watch it just because of its referenced in The Simpsons. It's the only time I've ever heard anyone talk about Hogan's Heroes as The Simpsons, but I feel like I need to watch it at least an episode or two just to get I don't know, like a lot of the old television shows, I feel like I should watch them just because The Simpsons talk about them a little bit.
That's true. There's lots of old TV shows they don't talk about, so obviously the ones they do talk about are going to be the good ones.
Yeah, precisely.
They just have to be.
Yeah.
But Colonel Klink does a great job of showing Homer what his life, if he was with Mindy instead of Marge, would be like. They would live in a big mansion. Everyone would be happy. They would have a butler. Marge would be the president. I mean, literally everything is better off for them, except the kids. We don't see the kids, but they probably don't exist in this timeline because Marge is too busy to have kids.
Yeah, so. She's president.
Exactly. And as we've seen in a later episode, Bart to the Future, I think that's what it was called. I can't remember.
Yes, that's correct.
If Bart goes back in time and tells Homer or Marge not to be with Homer, then she ends up with Artie Ziff, and she has all the same kids but with Ziff hair. So obviously the kids come from Marge, and if Marge is the president, she doesn't have those kids, or the kids don't exist. So
no kids.
Sucks to be them. But Homer, Mindy, and Marge are all happy.
Mm-hmm.
How Homer and Mindy end up rich, I couldn't tell you because they're both extremely lazy people. But when Homer comes back from his vision, he is being yelled at by Lyle Hutz, who apparently considers the phone booth to be his office, which is a quick little line by Phil Hartman. It really helps the episode out. We then cut to Bart, who is at school, about to be bullied again, when he is rescued by Martin.
What the hell?
Shh!
What is this place?
The Refuge of the Damned.
A place where we can work on our extra credit assignments without fear of reprisal.
Cub, you must be tired from the chase. Oliver, bring our friend a hard-boiled egg and some prune juice.
Finally, Bart's one of us.
Excelsior!
There's some Stan Lee loving nerds right there.
I feel like this little vignette that has so much potential, and they really don't do much with it in this episode.
Yeah, right.
I really like.
You could do so much more with the special nerd enclave.
The special, like, a little class warfare kind of thing, or clique warfare going on in elementary school or something. But
and yeah, I think they could have put that a whole episode just by itself.
Yeah, and I don't like nerds. Don't eat healthy. Nerds eat garbage. That
depends on the nerd.
I guess that's true. But all the nerds I know eat complete garbage all the time.
That's true, but these are more like upper class kind of nerds. They're not.
I know
geeks.
You're
thinking more of geeks.
I've been to plenty of board game meetups, Matt, and people are
those
not
are geeks.
Eating.
Those aren't nerds.
Those are nerds.
Nerds are the ones who are always studying and you know those sorts of things. They don't like common pursuits.
They just said Excelsior, Matt.
So
okay, comic books.
Say Excelsior. It's not just Stan Lee.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Whatever. I'm guaranteed that's why they said Excelsior. It's a Stan Lee thing. That's not. They didn't say that.
True.
There was not. No. There was not. That was not a reference to like middle age England or whatever.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, immediately after that, we cut back to Homer, who is even Mindy is seeping into his subconscious.
Oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking. But I sent you Ben Gay, oh, Andy. You kissed me and stopped me from something. And I...
Dad, why are you singing?
Tell a lie, tell a lie. Because I have a small role in a Broadway musical. It's not much, but it's a start.
Bravo.
Are you hiding something from me?
Like what?
Judging from your song, you're infatuated with a woman named Mindy. Or a man named Andy.
Lisa, look out behind you.
Dad, I'm not going to fall for that.
No, Lisa, I swear to you, I'm 100% completely serious. You've got to turn around right now before it's too late.
Huh?
Sucker!
Poor Lisa fell for the oldest trick in the book. That is such a great scene. I'm sorry that was so long, but Homer's song, and then Lisa at the very end when she's like, huh?
That is Mandy by Barry Manilow.
Of course.
If no one knows.
I'm pretty sure even I knew that, so I'm pretty sure.
Guess what, Matt? Everyone is not you.
What?
I know. You
know less about music than me?
Mind blown. Barry Manilow is not really in the zeitgeist anymore, so I think it's fair to mention.
Fair enough. Homer then goes to work the next day, and he's got a note written on his hand that he is going to try and talk to Mindy about it. We, of course, then see Lenny walk by with a note on his hand, something about apologizing for something about alcohol. Apparently, he did something when he was drunk, and then there's a giant hand joke that was really funny to me when I was a kid, but now I'm just like, oh, that's pretty funny. Giant hand. He's got lots of stuff written on there. Ha, ha, ha.
It's a good gag. It's a quick little one-off thing. I remembered it. I knew that it was from this episode, so.
Of course, poor Homer, when he goes to actually talk to Mindy, it doesn't go well.
Oh, no. I'm sweating like Roger Ebert. Murphy, you are an elf. Uncontrollably, I think.
A wee num yo ho reggy yo.
Okay, that's a language, I suppose, somewhere.
No, actually, Matt, that that is a if you continue there, it continues on for a little bit while we cut to Burns and Smithers watching them on a video camera, and in the background you still hear Homer talking, right?
Right.
And what is he is actually reciting a Buddhist chant.
Oh.
That Nam Miho Renga Kyo is the name of a Buddhist chant, and then what follows is an actual Buddhist chant that he is reciting.
Wow, that's pretty impressive Homer's hands smudged in exactly a Buddhist chant.
It's reference to Akbar, Akbar and Jeff, Matt Groening, another Matt Groening comic. So,
gotcha. Just gotta stick them all in there like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think anyone, unless you were a fan of those things or a Buddhist, you probably didn't recognize any of it. I certainly didn't. So,
fair enough. Lord. What we see at the end of that clip is Burns just watching Homer and Mindy through a monitor, and he comments on the fact that they have a camaraderie that apparently no one else shares. And there's a little montage of other plant employees beating up on each other and trying to kill each other, and, you know, general mayhem. So he calls in Homer and Mindy to tell them they're going to the energy conference in glamorous capital city, the Windy Apple.
the first time we've heard the Windy Apple, I think. I don't think
it's gonna... it'll come back.
Yeah,
it'll
it will.
And that's where we end the act.
And when we come back, Homer is being led to his hotel room by an annoying bellhop.
TV's there, bathroom's there, and there's your king-size bed for...
Stop that. I love my wife and family. All I'm going to use this bed for is sleeping, eating, and maybe building a little fort. That's it.
It's a little fort, Matt.
That's right, unless you... if you don't build a fort, then what's the point of even going to a hotel?
I know, really. That's what hotels are for.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you don't mess up your own linens.
Yes, all those linens I have at home. Homer is of course, exploring his hotel room and finds out that Mindy is right next door, separated only by a wall. Mindy has a devious idea.
I got a really wicked idea that could get us into a lot of trouble.
Oh, Mindy... We have to fight our temptation.
No, Homer. Let's do it. Let's call room service!
Oh,
Homer's reactions to all of this, like all the sexual innuendo, is the best. It's always great. They eat a lot of food together, and even managed to lose a turkey behind the bed.
Well, yeah,
bed turkeys.
They ordered so much food; it's like all over the place.
They end up having a Lady and the Tramp moment over a chili dog, but at that exact moment, there's a Marge's murmur starts coming in, and yeah. Homer freaks out. His shirt pops open. He's wearing that shirt with Marge's face on it.
Well, it's a perfect undershirt. I mean, you wouldn't want to wear that out, but hey.
I guess not, but he flips out and runs out of the room, and we see that it's a floor buffer outside making that Marge noise. We cut back to Bart. He's himself again, basically. You know, he has his normal shoes on, his scalp is better, his temporary lazy eye has been fixed. He present like the bullies. We see them game planning. Like, yeah, we're gonna work the kidneys today. I believe that is actually Nelson who's like. And this is when I think there's a previous trivia question where you pointed out that Nelson is considered the leader of the bullies,
mm-hmm.
and you can see it here. He is the one giving the orders, and they're a little bit struck by Bart not looking like a nerd anymore. And they're just like, eh, whatever. And they beat him up anyway. They're like, well, we can't.
You don't need to look like a nerd. Come
yeah, on, we've
man.
Already got it all this set up. We can't stop now. We cut to the energy. It's an energy conference, right? Like, that's a weird thing. But I guess it exists. An energy conference?
I'm sure they do that somewhere in some business.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would think it'd be more niche than just have, like, hey, all the nuclear people and the fossil fuel people and the solar people all together. You'd think they'd just have, like, here's a solar energy conference, whatever. I'm being a little nitpicky. Hans Moleman is the solar energy dude in Springfield, apparently. I don't understand. But some goons from the fossil fuel people come and beat him up, take over his booth. And that's kind of interesting. That's still happening. It's 22 years later, and we're still having some issues with fossil fuel people beating up the solar energy people.
It's true, but now we're a lot more accepting of nuclear power because everyone's realized, hey, it's not that bad compared to fossil fuels.
I don't know. Like, I think the, like, I don't know, there's the problem with the PR nuclear power is the fact that when things go bad, I think the real problem is because it's weird. Like, we are very accustomed to gasoline and methane and stuff because, you know, people drive cars and they have grills, right, and their ovens with natural gas and stuff. But no one has nuclear power in their home for the most part. It's still a weird thing, and it's still very much associated with, like,
true, but mutation. No one else has hydroelectric power in their home.
I understand that, but water isn't weird and scary, Matt.
Neither is nuclear power once you understand it.
I'm you're preaching the choir. I'm just saying I understand. Like, I've been playing Fallout 4 all the last 2 weeks, and guess what? That whole game is about how nuclear power, like, destroyed America.
No,
so.
No, that's how nuclear war made it happen.
Well, but there's mutations, and there's all kinds of, you know, there's a lot of weird stigma still surrounding nuclear power, even though
true.
I think it is a very, it is probably the best bet for the future if we want, like, to sustain energy without, well, I don't know, eliminating climate change is impossible at this point, but, you know, stopping making it not so bad, I don't know. But there's, like, we see them Homer throws a brick at some guy who's criticizing them. What is Mindy? She says get bent to somebody. I forget who it is. But
the guy who says no more Chernobyls.
Oh, that's right. No more Chernobyls. But they Homer is he thought this would be really bad, but he's like, no, it's not so bad. You know, it'll be okay. I'll get through this. I'll get back to home to Mars. It'll all be over. But then both Homer and Mindy are announced as the king and queen of the conference. Like, it's prom.
Well, that isn't a conference just prom for adults, Robbie.
No? No? I don't think we have a...
Are you sure? I thought it was all just a popularity contest.
Well, prom? Yeah, prom. I mean, the king and queen of prom certainly is, but... No, conferences are not popularity contests.
Aww.
They are exercises and public relations and branding and salesmanship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
But it's a good one, man. I like that. Because they win and Homer is informed, no, there's no way out of this. You have to go. They get is that what they say? The sexiest Chinese restaurant in Capital City?
It is Madame Cho's.
Madame Cho's. Homer gets a fortune cookie there.
You will find happiness with a new love.
Oh, even the Chinese are against me. What's the point? I can't fight fate.
Hey, we're out of these new love cookies.
Well, open up the stick with your wife barrel.
That's my favorite fortune, the stick with your wife fortune.
Yeah, stick with your wife fortune. I've gotten a couple in the past week that are a little weird. They're weird. Fortune cookies, they aren't fortunes anymore. Now they're just like weird kind of idioms that don't necessarily make sense. But like that's the thing. Like this episode is very much very clear on the fact that all this is just kind of coincidences that are all pointing Homer to do this thing. And he doesn't know what to do. They end up going back to his hotel room, and he's like, "Guys," he kind of invites Mindy in. He doesn't. He's like, "I guess he like." It feels like Homer doesn't like. He feels like he doesn't have a choice in this.
Well, that's true. I mean, he kind of feels like the universe has essentially told him you need to do this. So he's just kind of acquiescing, even though he really doesn't want to, which I think it's more on the lines of he does want to. He knows he should feel bad about it.
I'm not sure. Like, I feel like, I don't know. There's a certain part, like, I mean, that thinks that Homer doesn't ever question, like, I think Homer believes in destiny or fate. Do you think he believes in fate?
Yeah.
I think he has to, right?
Homer, you are the master of your own fate, damn it.
Yeah, but I feel like... I
mean, that's how this whole episode works, is that he feels like everything is pointing towards this.
Yeah, and I have... This is my favorite clip in this whole episode.
This was a really nice night, Homer.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong?
Oh, yeah, like you don't know. We're gonna have sex.
Oh, well, we don't have to.
Yes, we do. The cookie told me so.
And that's
it's true.
And that's
desserts aren't always right, Robbie, despite how sweet they are.
This is the clip that kind of like he is crying. Like, I don't think he doesn't feel guilty. I think he feels guilty because he feels like because he thinks that he has to do this and he doesn't want to, but the world is telling him, everything is told him, like your family is like sad and you know, this woman who is perfect is with you. Like, he has an hallucination that tells him the world is a better place without him with Marge. Like, and like, it comes down to this moment in the episode where he has to make this decision. We see him kiss Mindy this one time, and then we cut to Barry White playing. We do like a camera zoom float around Homer, and then we see he is with Marge. Marge has traveled to Capital City to hang out with him while he's there. Mindy is gone forever. I don't think we ever see Mindy ever again.
Apparently she hit the bottle and lost her job.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the funny things is Marge never even finds out about this until that clip show, I think, in season 6.
Yes, and then she gets briefly upset and then kind of gets over it. And then the episode ends with them in bed, you know, being sweet with each other, with an annoying bellhop for some reason in their room, making noises, and Homer punches him out. And that's how the episode ends. I don't know. I like this episode, Matt. It's a good one. I don't know. I don't know if it's...
It's very technically competent, but it doesn't really stand out a lot. There's lots of good jokes. I mean, the story moves along quickly. The B story is really good. It just doesn't wow me.
No, I don't know. I felt kind of underwhelmed with it, but it's still really good. I think the problem is the B plot to me, the whole Bart as a nerd thing. I think I like all the Homer and Mindy stuff. I really like Homer having to have this dilemma when the whole world is pointing him in this one direction, and he has to kind of decide, no, I'm not, I don't need to do that. Like, I don't, just because the world's telling me to do this, I don't need to do it. But the Bart stuff kind of goes nowhere other, like, it's all a service to get Bart being nerdy, but, like, we kind of mentioned, like, it feels like they could have done so much more with that, especially if it had its own episode. I mean, they do kind of do stuff like that later on. Bart's Comet, I think, is the one that's most like that I can think of off the top of my head.
Where yeah.
He kind of turns into, like, a nerdy kid just by accident.
But yeah, in that case, it's more the nerds accepting him rather than the bullies targeting him in that episode. So
yeah, that's true. But it's still really good. It's still, and Michelle Pfeiffer does an amazing job. As
oh
Mindy.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah, like it's perfect. And I don't know. We'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm not sure what we'll do with it, but we'll do something.
We'll find somewhere.
We'll find a place for it. No submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you have a certain episode that is your favorite, simply send us an email at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read it on air when we get to it. No comments from the news group this week, nothing special. They've decided that this episode is good again. I don't know. It's very...
Their reasoning is so incredibly arbitrary.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, this one's good. Like, there was not many complaints about it like there was after Cape Fear, which is currently number one on our best episode ever list. But with that, we can jump over to our listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of this week is, what is your favorite moment involving the sea? It was kind of a weird question. I thought it was, but we got tons of answers. Tons of
them.
Well,
yeah, because it's so specific, and everyone's like, oh, I remember this one that I really liked.
But, lots of great answers, guys. I wish I had time to read all of them, but please keep it up. Let's see. First up, Callum at Aragorn McBatman. It's a good, I like that Twitter handle. Quote, you'll just have to accept that your Game Boy is gone. It's at the bottom of the ocean. Aye. Mike at a Mike Bloom type. Quote, what do you think, Smithers? I think women and semen don't mix. We all know what you think.
As a kid, I didn't get that. That
yeah,
was great.
Yeah. Mitch at Mitch Doyle 13. When Homer's parasailing rope burns and Bart says, there goes my turn. Only time I caught my mom laughing at The Simpsons. Sean at Shawnee Mac 15. His answer, Zeppelin rules. Brian at Brianophile. The life of Rory Bibelos is insured for a surprisingly large amount. However, if it counts, the only appearance of Handsome Pete, who dances for nickels, this is one of my favorite Simpsons moments. On to Facebook, Eric, Homer's fantasy living under the sea when he's accused of sexual harassment. One of my favorite songs from the show ever. And that was by far the most popular answer from Homer Badman. Now with that attitude. Danielle, when the dolphins rose up and conquered the humans. Yeah, it's a Halloween episode, but stuck with me to this day and made trips to SeaWorld very uncomfortable. Well, there's lots of reasons SeaWorld should make you uncomfortable, probably. Brian from Treehouse of Horror, was it 11? Alcohol, it's the same one. Alcohol and night swimming. It's a winning combination. That's great. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Sean, going with Homer Simpson in kidney trouble, after hearing stories involving how to rob a bank with frozen bread and how to get banned from a car wash from a group of lost souls, Homer tells this tale of how he chickened out of giving Grandpa a kidney. They become so disgusted, especially the guy who stole an accordion from a blind monkey, they throw him overboard.
It's true, because that was the worst thing ever, Homer. How could you, jerk?
It's pretty bad. Zach, Yar, what vessels have you served on? I came from that one, the taffy boat. Yar, good enough. And finally, John. Simpsons tied when the crew of Homer's sub break out in performing in the Navy with the village people. And when the sub dives, we see the village people drown. That's really dark, but it's true. They did. They basically just drowned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just like, eh, okay. Matt, what is your answer?
I actually, no one picked mine for once. It's the part in Simpsons Tide where he surfaces at the end and tells all the different nations, it's my first day, including Antarctica, which has a penguin-staffed aircraft carrier.
That's pretty good.
Oh, by far the best.
That's pretty, Antarctica, who else are they going to have on their aircraft carrier?
Well, they could have all the other nations that have bases there.
They're other nations, though. They don't, it's not their land.
Fair enough.
They all share, I think technically, like, we all share possession of Antarctica.
That's true.
Like, all the nations. My answer is Rory B. Bellows and Handsome Pete, who dances for Nichols. That entire episode is great, but I love Rory B. Bellows. The mystery. Handsome Pete is amazing.
Oh, not a quarter. He'll be dancing for hours.
Oh, Handsome Pete. Next week's question with this episode is full of them. What is your favorite sexual innuendo from the show? I'm going to have to think about it a little bit. I'm not sure of mine off the top of my head. But I will post this question on all our social media. You can find it at facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places. Follow us, like us, reach out to us. Like to hear from you guys. You guys are great. Matt, you know what time it is?
Time to be scared.
It's not time to be scared. It's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard question, to try and stump the other. For this season, season 5, we have a little wager going where the loser, at the end of the year, end of the season, has to drink we're calling it a milkshake. It's going to be full of Simpsons-inspired food items. It's going to be disgusting.
Just the really bad ones.
It's going to be gross. Yeah, it's going to be... I mean, you combine any kind of weird... A lot of food things together, it's probably going to be gross. Including a Duff beer, some 64 slices... Not 64 slices, but several slices of American cheese, cough syrup. I believe we're going to have an onion ring in there. Probably a donut of some sort.
Well, yeah.
The big donut, if we... I don't know. It's pretty... We might just have to settle for a small donut because that'll actually fit.
That's true.
Because we have a lot of stuff to get in there. But regardless, whoever loses, whoever get at the end of the year, has to drink that thing or eat it is probably better because I don't think you'd be able to drink it. It's probably going to be very thick. Our tally as of today, before today's proceedings, I am down 2 points. Matt is 30 points. I have 28 points with our little scoring system.
I don't know. Today's is pretty easy. I think we're going to pull together today.
Okay, Matt. Well, you start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right, your easy question. Do you want to tell people the theme?
Oh, right. We have a theme from Joanna. It is movie references.
All right, so your easy question. In A Fish Called Selma, what sci-fi movie-based musical does Troy McClure star in?
That'd be Planet of the Apes.
You are correct. I hate every ape I see from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
Dr. Zaius.
Hit me.
And You Only Move Twice. What character is a clear reference to James Bond?
I mean, Mr. Bont.
Yes. It's not clear enough.
All right. Your medium question. In Who Shot Mr. Burns, what do the police warn Willie about when interrogating him?
Oh,
what movie is it a reference to?
Oh, uncrossing his legs. That's a Basic Instinct.
Yeah, that is correct. Sharon Stone reference there. It's a little more
Willie's not so great. Realty Bites is largely based on what film?
What's that stupid movie's name?
That's not stupid. The movie's awesome.
Glenn Ross?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay, good.
That is...
It's worried for a second.
That's a good... I'm not sure if you're going to get that one, Matt, but I'm proud. Proud of you. Give me my hard question.
One is pretty hard today, unless you're a Hitchcock fan or you remember more recent Treehouse of Horrors.
Oh, God. Okay.
In Treehouse of Horror 20, one of the bits has Bart and Lisa making what Lisa thinks is an arrangement to Ding Dong Ditch each other's teachers. So she goes and rings Mrs. Krabappel's doorbell and runs off, where she finds that Bart has actually killed Mrs. Hoover and dumped her body in a ditch. The rest of the bit is Lisa trying to, you know, keep away from Bart, who's trying to continually convince her that her only option is to kill Mrs. Krabappel. This is a reference to what Hitchcock movie?
Oh, I don't even know. Let me think. Is it The Third Man?
Nope. I'll give you one more try, though.
No, I don't think I can get it.
All right. It is Strangers on a Train, a surprisingly good, if slow, movie.
Strangers on a Train. That's what I was thinking. Third Man, is that even a Hitchcock movie?
I don't know what that movie is, so
That's what I was thinking of. I was thinking about the train movie where they have to arrange each other to kill it. I was thinking it was called The Third Man. Third Man's probably a different thriller. Maybe not directed by Hitchcock? We have a thing called the internet. It's right in front of me. I can look up.
The good old IMDb.
I know The Third Man is also an old thriller, but I don't know if it's a... No, it's directed by Carol Reed. That is not a Hitchcock movie.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't really seem to have anything to do with it. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't know why. It is a thriller, though. It's a noir. It's pretty good. It's a noir, but I don't know. It's apparently one of the best films of all time, and that's probably why I got confused.
Probably.
Your hard question, Matt. You're either going to know this or you don't. That's kind of the thing.
Okay.
And you probably know it because that's how it always works. I think this is funny considering your first question for me. What is the name of the musical that Troy McClure performs in based on Planet of the Apes in A Fish Called Wilma? Yeah, A Fish Called Selma. It is never mentioned by name. It is only seen.
Yeah, it's on the marquee. I honestly have no idea. Damn. No clue whatsoever.
Yeah, gotcha. It is called Stop the Planet of the Apes. I Want to Get Off.
Oh, that's right. Crap. Oh, well.
It's all right.
I'll put that in the old memory banks for next time.
Unfortunately, it means we get the same amount of points this week.
Aww.
Three each. And that leaves you still 2 points ahead of me, unfortunately.
Aww.
But
nerds.
I'm in sight of you. I just need to get down to like the last 5 episodes and keep it close, and maybe I can pull one, like a switcheroo at the end. That's my goal.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to snipe you like an eBay auction. I'm gonna just get right over on you. So it's gonna happen.
Sure.
Or I'm gonna drink an awful, god awful concoction and film it. And
I really hope that's the response. I really don't want to taste that Duff beer. That sounds awful.
What the hell was that? I think there's a cat outside.
Oh my gosh!
Your cat's inside making noise. Now cat's outside making noise. Perfect. Okay, Matt. I have. Not really. I guess it's a question. This is also from Joanna, sent in the theme. I mentioned the video games from The Simpsons a few weeks back, my obsession with them. She sent me a link to somewhere that had them all collected, at least all the art and stuff. But she has a list of every video game, fake video game from The Simpsons. Let me see. I don't know how many there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 25 names.
Holy crap.
Name as many as you can.
The only two I can think of are Bone Storm and Lee Carvell's Putting Challenge. There was also the one from Homer Badman.
There are almost certainly more than what she listed because there's so many. But these are definitely I can.
I know there's a Happy Little Elves MMO at some point or a mobile game anyway. Dang it.
Let me think. We just saw it last week, I believe. It was Martin playing an arcade game.
Oh, arcade games. Oh, I'm thinking like home video games.
No, well, both.
That was my dinner with Andre.
Arcade game is a video game.
Strong man.
I was going to say arcades are also video games, Matt. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah. Escape from Granny's.
Escape from Grandma's House.
Grandma's House. Did they ever name the boxing game Homer and Bart compete at?
Yep, they do. They do indeed.
Crap. I don't have any idea what the name of that is. All right, I give up. Those are the only ones I can think of.
Super Slugfest is the name of the game you're thinking of.
Of course.
There's Touch of Death.
Oh, of course.
Touch of Death. There's Larry the Looter.
Oh, yeah. Good old Larry the Looter.
There's, you said My Night with Andre, Panamanium, Strong Man. There's Escape from Death Row. There is Dash Dingo, the game that Lisa gets obsessed with while she's sick.
Oh, that's right.
There is Billy Graham's Bible Blaster. we got Cat Fight, Pachinko, Let's Make a Baby. Remember Let's Make a Baby? Homer plays it at the big giant in the science museum, I think it is. Something like that. He has to sit in the thing and try and disseminate the, you know what I remember? You remember?
Vaguely.
Homer gets angry and starts like, he's in like a big seat. Like it's a big giant. There's Earthland Realms, which I believe is one of the MMOs.
Yeah.
Triangle Wars, Rocky 3 versus Clara Peller, Itchy and Scratchy Handheld, Hockey Dad, Halloween Hit and Run, Virtual Doctor, Death Kill City 2, Death Kill Stories.
Well, of course.
Yeah, it's a Grand Theft Auto reference. Triangle Wars. So,
I just want to, real quick, before you finish, I actually was just surfing through Reddit while I was trying to think, and I actually came across someone posted in Are the Simpsons, Stop the Planet of the Apes, I Want to Get Off, like a fake Blu-ray cover of it. So I was literally one Reddit page away from getting that question right.
Uh-huh, cheater. That's why, okay, now I know why Matt's winning, guys. Now we know. Matt's cheating.
Because I'm surfing Reddit, that's right.
That's why he's cheating. Matt's a cheater.
It says no Google trivia challenge. It doesn't say no internet trivia challenge.
Okay, I'm going to have to turn off. I'm going to have to change the name of the segment, apparently, because Matt doesn't understand. The name is not necessarily the thing. It's the, you know, not cheating thing is the kind of the important part. But whatever, it's okay. Matt doesn't respect rules or people. That's okay. It's okay, but, guys. Yeah. It's all right. Well, I guess we can disqualify Matt for every answer he's had so far this year, so he can start back at zero. And sure. And so I'll have 30. I have 31 points. Matt has 0 points. you're going to have to work really hard to come back from that, Matt. That's pretty tough.
It's like I'm going to have to make all your questions impossible from here on out.
Oh, well, I guess I'll have to do the same.
Well, then, this is going to be a very boring trivia challenge.
No, well, I'll get to see you jerk some awful thing. Okay. I think that'll do it for this week for the No Google Trivia Challenge. I got sent a bunch of questions this past week or two, which I will be slowly tapping into. But keep them coming if you guys want us to use a special theme or whatever. Just send them to our social media, all the places I have already mentioned.
That's right. You got to keep me sharp.
Yeah, it is time for our final segment, Matt. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Okay. Clear parallel here, I think, Matt, is Colonel Homer.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I was thinking.
Is it better than Colonel Homer?
It's so tough because Beverly D'Angelo versus Michelle Pfeiffer, they both do great jobs. I actually like Colonel Homer a little better, I think, because of the music and because it has, I don't think it even has a B story in that whole episode. It's just all about that, which I really appreciate when you can take a 20 minutes and fill it with just one story. So I'm going to say it's not quite as good as Colonel Homer. What do you think?
No, I think, I don't know. I feel kind of the same about them. I don't really have particular, like, I don't have, like, any kind of feelings, you know? Like, I like them. I like them as episodes, but I don't necessarily like, oh, yeah, it's one of my favorites, or I really like it a lot. I think Colonel Homer, because of the music, is probably better than this one. Even though I think this one maybe says more than Colonel Homer does. Homer, because it has more of the music, this one actually says something about Homer more to it. Like, I don't know. I think Colonel Homer probably does take the edge just because of the music. What about Camp Krusty, which is right below it?
I really enjoy Camp Krusty. I always have because of the whole summer camp vibe. I was actually looking at because Duffless is just a few spots below it. That's another kind of Homer and Marge episode. It's more about Homer and, you know, giving up beer and all that sort of thing. And the ending is really sweet, but I think this kind of edges out Duffless. So really anywhere between those two, I think it's a good spot for 25.
I would put it above, right above Duffless. Because I love Separate Vocations. And,
I think we're both on record for our love for Separate Vocations.
Yeah, Separate Vocations. This is a great episode. Even though it's number 25 on this list. What do we do, man? Why is it so low? I love Separate Vocations.
Well, because there's a lot of really good episodes.
That's very good. That's a good point. But yeah, I think that's I actually have kind of the same feelings about it as I do Duffless. I think it's episodes that are good and I like them, but I don't feel like... I don't know. They don't come together in that perfect way. You know, there's a little bit something off. I like the B story in this one is a little, you know, aimless. And I don't know. Some people like the aimless thing. But, you know.
Yeah.
Our list is right. And you guys are all, if you think differently, you're wrong. I mean, that's obviously we are objectively correct. In what... That's not true. But I think that's a good spot for it. New number 26 would be The Last Temptation of Homer. Right above Duffless, right below Separate Vocations. Cape Fear, still number one on the list. What is our... Well, and last place still is Homer's Odyssey. Now 89. We are down to page three.
Falling like a rock.
We're on page three of the list now. What's our next episode, Matt?
It is the classic Springfield, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling.
Yeah, I always remember this episode coming a lot later.
It's really good though. So you know. We'll
yeah, see. I'm another. It's a kind of, I don't know. I remember it as a Marge episode, but it's not. It's I don't.
It's
know.
A little of both. A little. Yeah, it's a great Bart B story.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll discuss it next week. You can find this list, our best episode ever list, at our website. It is thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find this list broken down by season. You can find new episodes, obviously, downloadable streaming. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed if you don't want to have to try and type stuff out into Google or by my half-heard description of where to go. You can just go to that website and find links to everything. Links to our Patreon if you want to support us. If you think this show is worth a couple bucks, throw them our way. We really appreciate it. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Serial. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour at handsomeboyscomicshour.com, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. I am being forced to work pretty much every single day this week. So if you're one of those crazy people who's going to be working on Thanksgiving, hey, look me up.
How?
I don't know. Just you know, if you see somebody working on Thanksgiving, it's probably me.
That's yeah. It must. That's it. If someone's, that's how it works. There's only one. There's only like five people.
It's just me.
Oh, it's just Matt is the only one working on Thanksgiving.
I actually cloned myself so that everyone you see, meet will be a variation on me.
That is a terrifying thought.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it?
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.